We're live on site at Cafe Diplomatico in downtown Toronto. Justin Cuthbert and myself braving the conditions, currently sitting beside a heater to stay warm out on the porch here.
Yeah, a little bit colder than we expected. I couldn't really decide how to dress for this. I went like half and half. It was like, okay, I got like real thick socks on, but the rest of the attire is not exactly warm. But we're kind of lucky. It's like not minus 10 right now. It could easily be minus 10 based on the weeks we've had, but we're hovering around the 0-degree mark. We'll be all right.
This place is going to be lit.
We'll warm ourselves up here. We'll get some coffee. We'll get some breakfast, maybe a Spro. We'll figure it all out.
The setup here is going to be, and currently is, impeccable. We got everyone fired up, all the staff setting up the tables. You have a massive wall of TVs, as we can see. Everyone's waving at us in there, flags covering the walls. We've got the game on now. We're accessible, maybe too accessible.
We are definitely accessible.
If you ever want to say hi to Ailish, on the radio.
You can swing by here and probably get on for a second if you really, really wanted to. Not that we're condoning that by any means. And a relevant game on right now. Morocco and Croatia are about to start the second half. It's 0-0. This place looks like the perfect
spot. It's going to be amazing.
To watch a soccer game. To watch Canada, return to the World Cup stage after 36 years. This is the spot you want to be. So come on down to Cafe Diplomatico. We'll be hanging out here all day, and they are certainly ready for a crowd.
We're going to have some guests on site. We're going to have some guests calling in from Qatar. We're going to have Jeff Mayer calling in from his house.
Yeah.
But it's going to be absolutely. Look, there's television cameras here, Justin. Did you put your TV makeup on?
No, that's why I'm specifically
in the seat.
They're
going live right here.
No, we got a couple people going live in front of us.
I'm nervous.
Nice selection of media going on today. I don't know if they'll be here for 4 hours going live like we are, but we're grinders.
Look, she's literally about to go on the air. Go get him, girl. It's awesome. First time in 36 years, folks, that your Team Canada's
What's the vibe? I know it's early
I'm
on.
Fired
I know it's
up.
Early in the morning, but what's like? I was saying yesterday, I was a little like, it doesn't feel like it's tomorrow, but I was trying to soak in as much content as I could yesterday, and that got me ready to go. It feels like once this street, and College Street's the best,
it's going
by
to
the way.
Be a
once
street
this
party
street
today.
Gets buzzing, it's literally going to be a street party, thanks to Cafe Diplomatico, but I feel like the buzz is going to start really, really early. Not this early, but really early.
I'll say, what time does the serving alcohol? 7?
I think you were the John Tory whisperer. What was it, 6 or 7?
I think it's 7 o'clock they can serve alcohol now. So
okay, so you just have to wait one
the
game.
The end of the first hour here, when we're heading into post-A-list, people will be crushing pints.
We'll see how like professional we are when we literally see people hammering pints while we're on the air. I don't know how that's all
how many
go.
People bring us over a pint while we're on the air for 4 hours? First of all, we're on the air for 4 hours. Let's just tell you that.
Yeah, we got an extra hour today.
I mean, we won't be able to indulge, so don't bring the pints over until
we can wait until
9:59.
We can show some restraint.
But I think we'll have some fans of the show here. I hope.
Of course we will.
Come on down, meet Justin and I, and bring me mittens.
You didn't go mittens.
I forgot them at home. I put them in my bag, and then I was like pulling out my phone to Uber, and I left them on the counter.
Well, thankfully we got a heater here. We're gonna be all right. We're set up pretty well. We got a nice indoor space, half indoor space.
We got
we'll call it.
Of our squad on site.
Our squad's on site. Anything
alone.
We need, we're laughing here.
All right, and I got a latte. So coffee number one.
One per hour.
It's
that's the rule.
Pouring through the veins. We got lots to cover today as well. We'll set up the World Cup all day long, but we got to touch on some Leafs news to kick off our morning. Let's ruin your life now. Morgan Riley.
Yeah,
no.
The World Cup could serve as a nice distraction
God,
to the fact
please,
that.
Please, no! No!
The Leafs are down their three best defensemen for at least the next couple games here.
It's outrageous.
Like. TJ Brody, we don't know exactly what is going to transpire here. We expect he'll be back somewhat soon, but not as soon as we originally hoped. But Morgan Riley is going to miss about 4 to 6 weeks with a grade two or grade one? I think it's a grade two MCL sprain. Either way, it's not great, and either way, it needs to be taken care of before he can get back on the ice. We mentioned yesterday he did play one shift, came back after that sort of blindside, inadvertent sort of collision that in the neutral zone. But this is a legitimate injury. It's going to keep him out of the lineup for a bit, and it leaves the Leafs with a pretty scarce group back there.
Let me read the players on the blue line tonight against the red-hot New Jersey Devils on their heater, going for a record-breaking win streak. So this just sets up perfectly for Leafsland. Here's your lines. Giordano and Hall, Sandin and Liljegren, and Ben and Hallowell making his NHL debut. Mete also recalled, but looks like he might be the odd man out. The entire blue line salary here. This is a sweet stat. $7 million on your blue line tonight.
And with how much on the shelf?
$18 million on the shelf tonight. Yeah. Just on the blue line.
So, I mean, that sort of speaks for itself, right? Like, you can kind of break it down. You can talk about how good Mark Giordano has been and how important he's been. Yeah, he has been very, very important. He's been arguably, well, he's been a constant. Well, Jake Muzzin hasn't been. But you can put him right up there in terms of pound-for-pound importance with maybe a TJ Brody, maybe a Morgan Riley, because guess what? He's making $800,000, and he's been really, really important to this team. But there's no way to spin it. They're in a rough spot here. They're going to have to hold it over.
That's a nice way to put it.
They're going to have to hold it over for a couple weeks, at least till Brody gets back. You get a little bit of help. But still, even then, it was never going to be the defensive core without Jake Muzzin that you'd planned for. So you got to do the best you can with what you got. And it's, again, we talked about the opportunity for Rasmus Sandin. Now we're seeing an opportunity for Matt Hallowell, another opportunity for Jordy Benn to continue to establish himself as like a really important piece on this team.
Thank God Jordy Benn's been...
Thank God for Mark.
Impressive.
Yeah, I would say thank God for Mark Giordano, but thank God also for Jordy Benn coming in and being able to do a decent little job here. So, I don't know. We talked about the comfort zone thing. I still believe in the comfort zone. I feel like they're going to be okay because a part of their defensive game is what they do up front, is holding on possession of the puck, back checking really, really well. This is only going to highlight and underscore those things even more. But they're going to be a disadvantage, and they're going to be a disadvantage tonight for sure against a New Jersey Devils team that wreaks havoc on opposing defensive course.
Well, and we talked about, we saw the Devils about 5 days ago. Obviously, the Leafs lost that one. They're on their heater, as Jack Hughes puts it. But they're fast, and it's going to look rough for Hallowell getting his NHL debut. I think might be a little bit of an eye-opener there.
Hey, he might be deer in headlights. He might thrive. Maybe, I don't know, he's a good skater. Thrive. He can move the puck a little bit. Okay. I don't know if he's the most offensively gifted player.
Have you been scouting out the Marlies or what?
I'm just saying, there's like, it's not like he's some schlub coming.
No, I
it's
know.
Not the guy you wanted to start the season
he's
with
He's going to get minutes. Like,
he's going to get minutes.
There's just no question about
I
it.
I think the biggest concern might be, okay, Giordano and Hall now, like how much are they going to have to deal
with? So that's
with?
The thing too. How old is Giordano? Like 38?
39.
Okay, so I love the guy. He's been a pleasant surprise, especially now when you look at how much money he's making and the big cap space that we have. But, yeah, that's a lot to ask from a guy that is at the end of his career.
Yep.
And he's going to play some big minutes. He obviously is a leader on this team, which is now going to be even more thrust into that role. He talked, obviously, post-practice yesterday when this news came out. Got a couple clips from the players speaking on Morgan Riley's absence, but Giordano talked about losing Riley and how that's going to have to elevate the rest of the team.
Oh, I think we're going to miss him, obviously, in all aspects of the game. He plays every situation, obviously a top guy in the league, so it's on us, as a group of six now to step up and fill those minutes I think guys are excited for, obviously it sucks losing Mo, but guys are excited for the opportunity and guys coming in the lineup.
Hopefully no one is more excited than Rasmus Sandin to take this opportunity and run with it. And I mean, that's the silver lining here is you've got two young D that are going to be thrust into a role that they probably want. And we'll see if they're prepared for it. But Rasmus Sandin came into this season with a lot of question marks and that whole drama in the postseason. And his debut wasn't great. I think the last couple of games he's taken some steps forward. But now you're going to be put in a position at least for the next week or two until Brody comes back and then weeks after that to take a little bit more of an opportunity to show that you are worth that money that you wanted.
I think it's an opportunity, too, for Timothy Liljegren because we've been kind of – this is how the blue line has sort of functioned this season. You've had one guy – that helps prop up the other guy. And Liljegren's been really useful in that he can play on the third pairing. He can step up and play with Morgan Riley for a bit. He can play with really whoever and find a way to be impactful. But now he's in a position, and it's not a foreign position because he's played with Rasmus Sandin probably more than anyone, but now you're going to be up against bigger competition. And if he can sort of step up and lead that pairing against in bigger minutes, in more difficult and taxing, in a more difficult and taxing role, I think it's an opportunity for him to take a step forward as well, because those two are not going to be sheltered for the foreseeable future. They're going to have to step up and do a job, an important job for the Maple Leafs here. So I think part of this tricky situation is that a lot of the players that you leaned on to help others are not available. TJ Brody, one. Maybe Morgan Riley kind of got into he kind of went into the other category where he was being propped up a little bit, but still, the guys that you really, really trust are not available aside from Giordano, maybe Ben, and I think you're looking to Liljegren to emerge as maybe one of those guys where he can be more of a leader, take a bigger, bigger role, bigger piece of the pie, and really thrive with it.
And you mentioned Brody did some solo on ice work yesterday. Everyone was videotaping that, throwing it on the Twitter feed. So step in the right direction. We'll see how long that takes to get him back in the lineup. But the Leafs play tonight against the Devils, and then they got a back-to-back. So they just really thrown him in the fire here.
I know. Okay, well, we didn't have any success with the Wake and Rake going against Toronto teams, right? This is too close of a line for me. Like, I know the Leafs are at home, but the Devils are on that heater, and the line
the
is, like, near a pick 'em. The Devils are slight favorites, but it feels like if the Leafs were ever going to be, like, a decent-sized underdog at home,
this would be the
time, because it's not that these guys are... Oh, they're in Jersey? Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. It's not that they're incapable, but there might be a learning curve, and they're going to be seeing 102-mile-an-hour pitch, or the equivalent to, on a sheet of ice, which is the New Jersey Devils right now. So I feel like they might be okay, but it might look a little messy to start tonight.
All right, so we'll keep teeing that up. We're going to ask...
I just assume you're always working, by the way.
Yeah, I'm always working. We're going to have Jeff Merrick on at 7. I mean, the question goes now, is it time? You know, with Riley also joining LTIR, we've had people circled for weeks and almost months at this point of someone that might add into that blue line. Well, I'm just curious his take, if it's okay. Is it time to make that reactionary move? Are we still going to be patient 4 to 6 weeks with Morgan Riley out?
I just think that's the annoying thing, is that the Riley injury doesn't change anything. Right.
Well, because yesterday Sheldon Keefer, the day before, was like, "Oh, it's no problem. Like we've dealt with it. We just keep rolling." It's like, "Okay, well, now you've lost three of your best defensemen. How long are you just going to keep rolling with it?"
Yeah, that point is fair, but it's still a Muzzin decision if you make a move, right? Mm-hmm. Because he's the only one that potentially may not be coming back 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, Riley could suffer the same injury to the next knee the night that he comes back, and he'd still be coming back this season. I'm just saying, it's not a long-term thing.
No bad vibes here at Cafe Dip.
You can't soak up the Riley money at all, because he's going to be a part of your regular season still. You can make a decision on Muzzin if you deem that he's not going to come back, but right now they're leaving the door open for that, and of course TJ Brody's going to be back soon. So as much as there is upwards of $18 million not being used right now, you kind of have to just accept the fact that that's not available to you.
We'll see if they view it that way as well. I feel
you make a small move, for sure.
You could.
But.
And Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts Podcast, or was it on Jeff Merrick's show? Regardless, those two are.
Either way.
Basically 32 Thoughts Podcast. He mentioned some names that were the first time we had heard these names. We'll play that later in the show when we talk to Jeff.
And we'll ask Jeff about it.
So stay tuned. Leafs rejigged their lines again at practice. First of all, everybody, they practiced 3-on-3 yesterday. So hallelujah. They heard us all. They saw the Twitter.
Hallelujah, but it's also like, why is it just happening now? We have to drop 5 points before we start to take notice?
It was electric to see them out there practicing 3-on-3 yesterday.
Was my buddy John Tavares out there?
I saw that Nylander scored the very first shift of the 3-on-3, so it's all fixed.
Oh, we're fine.
They're going to win the next overtime because they practiced.
The Devils stand no chance in an extra frame tonight.
But, okay, so that's a big note from practice, but the biggest part aside of that is that the Leafs rejigged their lines again. Kerfoot demoted to the third line. Looks like Malgin's scratched. And the second thing that we can all hallelujah about is Nick Robertson back in the lineup, and everybody can relax now, including us, who keeps... What's going on with Nick Robertson? You got to get this guy developed. You got to get him in the lineup. Well, he's in the lineup tonight. So on the second line, too.
Yeah, the same rules apply, I guess. He's got to be on the second line. It seems like Sheldon Keefe doesn't trust him anywhere else, which, of course, sets off the chain reaction. Alex Kerfoot going to the third line. And that means it's a demotion for our buddy Pierre Engvall, who's still standing out as one of...
I think a lot of people will be happy about that one.
Yeah, one of the players that's, you know, least pulling their weight, I guess, to start the season. I don't know really what the justification is for, like, dropping Malgin, because that fourth line has been playing
like pretty decent,
pretty well. And do you mess up the chemistry with the fourth line if you drop Engvall? Do you worry about hurting Engvall's feelings if you
send him again? Like,
I know you don't. I don't think any people actually do. but it does. This is why the decision is with Robertson as it is. Mm-hmm. It changes the entire lineup if you choose to put him in the lineup, because you don't trust him in a bottom six role.
This guy's going to be shot out of the cannon tonight. Like,
you would hope so.
Everybody and their mothers are wondering why Nick Robertson hasn't been in the NHL lineup, or why he's not playing in the AHL. He's just sitting around wasting his potential. And that's everywhere you look, the conversation is Nick Robertson, Nick Robertson. We have been guilty of that. So tonight you get an opportunity to come in and make an impact. Like, it's just, that's what you need. That one Nick Robertson game, 2 goals and the OT winner and against his brother. Like, you can't just hold on to that forever. Also, what are they doing, construction out there? They're actually building the street
party barriers are going up.
So if you hear, sorry about that, if you hear poles in the background, we're not at a construction site, but we're close to one.
We're kind of at a construction site. I think there should be a lot of motivation tonight. I mean, there's going to be maybe nerves with Hollowell. But across that blue line with Nick Robertson, maybe Engvall gets a little shot in the arm if he reacts accordingly. I just think there's no reason to not be motivated. And first and foremost, it's just who the opponent is, the New Jersey Devils. You need your best effort, and we'll see if they can provide that tonight.
All right, the text line just said, you guys tell the construction in the background swinging those poles that they're a little bit loud. And then someone said, sounds like someone's crushing the toilet in the background.
Oh, God.
I don't know if there's anything we can do about that.
Listen, we're 4 hours at Cafe Dip. We're right on the street, basically. You're going
to
hear honking. You're going to hear streetcars. That song with that commercial where they make a beat out of the TTC.
Oh, no.
We're just
going to
hear that without the actual beat.
Bing bong. Yeah. They're trying to take Bing Bong.
Wait, is there? Yeah, there's a streetcar.
Spadina Station.
We got a garbage truck going by right now. Like, there's going to be some ambient noise tonight.
I'm going to cover the mic with my hand here to block off some noise.
I don't think that does anything.
It's not going to do anything? Okay. We're doing our best, folks. Like, they're hard workers this morning out here grinding.
Mm-hmm. It is like they waited just for us to go on air.
It kind of is. Like, they started at 6:01.
That's okay.
All right, so Leafs back in action tonight. Keith talking about New Jersey streak is outstanding. Like, it's a stunning series of games. And tonight the Maple Leafs have an opportunity to hopefully end that. Keith spoke about trying to break New Jersey. Like, that'd be a big moral win, regardless of the standings win. It's just it's kind of nice to be the team that shuts these guys up. But here's Keith on talking about New Jersey streak.
I think it's more so, you know, that we played them recently and we had a chance to end their run at that point in time and failed to do so, despite the fact that we thought we played a good hockey game for the first 40 minutes. You know, our third period and overtime were not good, but, I feel like we're right there with them, and we know we can play with any team in the league. So I think just the fact we played them more recently, you know, you have that, you know, that extra piece when you get out on the road that you want to go get your points back.
Not better opportunity than to play the team you played 5 days ago and end the streak.
That's the most remarkable thing about the streak, is it is really, really hard to separate yourself in the NHL. And to do it over and over and over again, 13 straight times, maybe 14 tonight. I think they're like 4 or 5 games away from the NHL record. It's remarkable that they've been able to do this. And, you know, I think the jury's still out. Our buddy Keith Yandel doesn't believe. I think we're starting to believe, but we'll see if they can carry that momentum. Again, there's no shortage of a reason for them not to be highly motivated as well tonight. They get another chance to beat the Leafs, and they get a chance to extend that winning streak and keep that heater alive. Speaking of heaters, we might need another one.
Yeah, so we're outside on this, what would you call this, like the patio? In the summer, it's probably like the patio. It's half enclosed. And anyway, Justin and I have this little dynamite heater beside us. Looks like it's from Costco, and it is just saving lives here.
Yeah. It's very key.
Okay, so Leafs in action, also Raptors after a couple days of no Toronto sports. You got both and you got Team Canada, so big couch day or big chair day at Cafe Dip. So Raps back in action versus the Nets tonight at home. But things come in waves here in Toronto sports. Scotty Barnes possibly not in the lineup with the day-to-day with a knee sprain yesterday at practice. That one came out of nowhere. Delano Benton still has a non-COVID illness. Sorry, it's outrageous, these noises. Both questionable for tonight. Looks like Gary Trent Boucher doing better. Precious Pascal, Otto Porter
Jr. Power through here, Forzy.
Precious Pascal, Otto Porter Jr. still out. But the positive signs is Pascal was doing some non-contact work yesterday back on the court, but Nick Nurse says he's still not ready. But man, we can't catch a break here.
Targeting a return for next week, that's the best news. I mean, we talk about an incomplete deck. The Raptors have been playing with it for a while now. And I don't think the Raptors would sympathize with the Maple Leafs given what they've dealt with to start this season. But I think the biggest thing from the Raptors, as garbage is fully getting collected now behind us, the biggest thing from the Raptors is the comments from Nick Nurse yesterday on Gary Trent Jr. Mm-hmm. Pulled zero punches, and I think we got that clip. We should go to that in a second. It'll at least give the garbage guys at least, 15 seconds of reprieve here. So if we can pull up that Trent clip or the Nurse on Trent mm-hmm. clip, we can react to it afterwards.
Disappointing. It's disappointing. We'd like to get him a lot more aggressive on defense this year. I would say that's been I don't know what the word is. It's been a little bit of a negative, right? Because he's capable of really getting after the ball and getting his hands on the ball a lot, and that's what we want him to do. We're going to get him his shots and get him his points, but we want him to be a disruptor. He kind of fits us if he does that. And if he doesn't, he doesn't fit us, right? So we need to get him back. And again, I think some of that is he just hasn't felt all that great physically for a lot of games this year. So hopefully he's getting there where he's going to feel good here.
This is not the first time that Nick Nurse has publicly called out a player.
No, we're so past the Sheldon Keefe, Mitch Marner thing and criticism and all that, so we don't have to go there. But wow, can Nick Nurse, like, he can say what he wants when he wants. And this is a worthy call-out, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, if you remember the start of last year, like, Gary Trent, okay, he's a Raptor. Like, he's found a way to be and soak up some of that Raptor culture and the way things are done. And I don't think we've seen that this year. I think he's he's sort of settled. He's been what he was before he came over. And I feel like that Raptors influence has sort of worn off a little bit. And Nick Nurse is reminding him, and I'm sure he has reminded him privately, but when things don't change when it happens privately, he goes public. And I don't hate it, I gotta say.
Oh, I love it.
I think coaches should be allowed to coach, and I feel like that's something that's maybe not a lost art, but we're not seeing it as much anymore. And I like that Nick Nurse still has the autonomy to do it.
I think it's important to be able to do that. And obviously, the market you're doing it in, it's not like you're doing this. Actually, the Sacramento Kings with the Beam, like everything that happens there is now. I'm trying to think of a team that nobody cares about right now.
I would say Sacramento, like, they care about the Beam, but maybe they're not the public conscious yet. I mean, I didn't know about the Beam.
Somebody did text about the Beam this morning. Throw a Beam on top of Scotiabank Arena and we're
They
good.
Like the Beam last night or something? Like, the Kings keep winning?
The Kings are unstoppable, Justin. Yeah. Nonetheless, it's gonna be all eyes on them tonight. Once again, another prove-it game. Also, with Kevin Durant back on the court, how much do we care about seeing KD here in Toronto? Like, I wonder if people want to come out to see KD, or it's just like, oh, the Nets are in town, I don't care. Like, there's been so much going on with this team and with him. Like, I wonder if that resonates at all.
I think it does a little bit, for sure. I don't know why it wouldn't. He's still one of the best players in the world. It is a tire fire, admittedly. Like, it's like what could be rather than what is. With the Brooklyn Nets, and they're still very, very disappointing, despite things.
Sorry, how many garbage cans are on the street?
It's almost though the garbage truck can't go down the street, and all the bins are being brought
out
to the end of the street.
The entire the street here, everyone,
which is something I've never seen before, and of course, it's while we're on live radio. But that's okay. I think they've actually cleared out, which means it might be a little less noisy. But anyway, KD always worth checking out. But, you know, it's just not as relevant.
No.
Because Brooklyn's not as relevant and not what they should be. And for that reason, oh, and that peace and quiet right there as
wow,
well.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's lower on the list now in terms of, like, players you want to see come through Toronto.
Thad Young talked about KD yesterday. We're going to play that clip. It's great.
The crazy part is I've been playing against KD since we're the same draft class, or same high school class. So I've been playing against him and watched his game just continuously evolve. Like, the motherfucker's getting better. but nah, he's a great individual, you know, a really good basketball player, Hall of Fame type basketball player. You know, it's definitely going to be hard to guard him.
I guess we didn't.
Well, we apologize for that.
I guess we didn't get the clean clip.
It was a good
one.
Clip, but not that was the dirty
Sorry
clip
about
as
that,
opposed
folks.
To the clean clip. So we apologize for that, and we apologize for the noise behind us. But yeah, I mean, it's KD, it's Toronto. It's exciting. We'll see what the Raptors can do shorthanded. I think we should talk a little bit about
it. All right, I'm done with Toronto sports.
Canada soccer,
folks.
2 p.m. Belgium.
36
We're in the
years.
68th minute right now between Morocco and Croatia. They are trending towards splitting the points in what would probably be the best result for Canada.
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that, hey, you want one of them to win and then struggle regardless, but Belgium's really the team that you'd want to take all the points in that scenario. Mm-hmm. So if they do split points here, it gives Canada a chance to not only keep pace, but potentially be leading the group by the end of the day. Because a victory over Belgium, of course, if this stays tied at zero, would put them in that position. We don't have the starting lineup. It's, you know, we don't get that couple hours before the game. But John Herdman did say that everybody is available, ready to go. There should be no restrictions. That, too, could be smoke and mirrors, I suppose.
Way.
But it seems like we're going to get Herdman's selection today. Whatever that may be. Again, we don't know exactly what that is. We assume Davies will be a part of that.
He said
I think
Davies
there's also a world where Davies
fit
wouldn't
to play.
Yeah, he is fit to play. But, you know, we know that there is the backdrop of injury, and that's something that, you know, necessarily he's fit to play, but is he fit to play 90 minutes? I guess you'd have to clarify. Again, these guys are really cagey about what their lineups will be because you want to keep your opponent guessing as long as you can. But the expectation should be that everyone who means something to Canada today will represent Canada today.
It certainly looks like that from the press conference that they had yesterday, which they were significantly late to. John Herdman was a little frazzled at the podium. So the
we didn't get a was it traffic?
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
No, I don't. I think whatever. You do what you want.
Just get on time for the game.
That's all you need. Start on time. He did say this following quote, which I loved. Canada are in a position now where we can field our strongest team. It's exciting times for us. Now the dark clouds have shifted.
Very dramatic. I love.
Let's go.
The drama there. That's very good. But it just getting to this point, of course, is a victory. But getting to this point healthy is a victory in itself, too, because there's been so much noise around this team, and more specifically from an injury standpoint. So it looks like Herdman's got the full deck. The Raptors don't have it. The Leafs don't have it. But our buddy John Herdman's got it today.
And we're going to talk to Faisal Khamis on site today, James Sharman, our sports and soccer analyst, and what a guest, JP Della Camera, World Cup play-by-play announcer, who's actually calling Canada-Belgium today, is calling in.
He called Saudi Arabia
and
Argentina yesterday. So he's
seen it all already.
He's bouncing around in Doha and Qatar and getting to all the important games. So we'll ask him about Argentina. We'll ask him, of course, about what he's seen from Canada in his study of Canada and John Herdman. That's a great interview, and we're looking forward to that.
Okay, so I want to set up the text line for a couple questions here. I'm assuming there are some listeners that were alive during Canada's first World Cup appearance in 1986. I wish I was around during that time. You might have been.
No, I wasn't, Ailish.
Nonetheless, Justin, I want to know, what's your vibe this morning waking up? You're heading down the Cafe Dip, first of all. How are you going to be celebrating today or being a part of today's action? Are you calling in sick? Last week you started to get the cough right in time for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You going to stream at work? Like, I want to know the traditions. Maybe you're starting new traditions for the first time. It's an exciting time. Are you a split fandom? because I'm sure there's some people that are split fandom.
Yep.
Just like what you're excited for. What's a success in your mind for the World Cup? Because I think, as you just mentioned, it's already a success that they've made it here. Great. But like what? They got three guaranteed games. What do you want from that? A goal? That'd be great.
I don't know. Again, I wasn't around in 86, despite what you think, Ailish. I think the difference would be like, if they don't have a measure of success, it would be disappointing, right? Like if they don't get any points, it's kind of a read through. It would be very, very disappointing. And that says more about where they're at as a nation when it comes to soccer than anything else. But another question I'm worth posing to the text line is like, if you're around in 86, if you remember 86, mm-hmm. what does this mean to you that they are finally back?
That's true.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Australia can get on the board versus France.
Oh, you want to do that?
Anything can happen. Justin with the weakest link on the Wake and Rake yesterday. I thought it was a great pick, but
I stand by the pick. The guy, I think, is Lucas Hernandez, tore his ACL. That's the only reason why they had that chance, the Socceroos did, because the defender chasing tore his ACL on the play, which resulted in the cross, which resulted in the goal for Australia.
Excuses.
France, clearly, if you watch the game, you know France was like 10 steps ahead of Australia, who I still believe is
so good for them, Justin. Like, that's so sweet. We've already seen lots of good stuff.
We've already won Wake and Rakes. We don't need to win them all.
That's right. We can't get cocky here.
No, it was a little disappointing because, you know, if you go with a matinee Wake and Rake selection, you risk ruining the night or taking away the intrigue from the night. But that goal came 10 minutes in, and then France dominated every second after that, which was a little frustrating, a little bit tilting, but that's okay. The other play that I had, no runs
in the first inning.
Both teams don't score. Denmark. Yes. Hit, and France on the money line was a parlay that hit. So we don't leave completely empty-headed.
Today's World Cup action, we got a game on right now in the 73rd minute, 0-0 between Morocco and Croatia. Important one for Canadian viewers. Germany and Japan at 8 a.m. We'll be watching that one live. Spain and Costa Rica at 11 a.m. And then obviously Canada, Belgium, 2 o'clock p.m. today. I'm sure people will be here shortly. I mean, the workers are here, so.
The noise will be a
It'll
lot more.
It'll be different noise.
Yeah. A lot more acceptable.
You'll be hearing clinking glasses instead of clinking poles out there.
That's what we're looking for.
Yes. Okay.
So come down to Cafe Diplomatico.
Yeah, come down to Cafe Diplomatico.
There's still seats available, but I promise they won't last long.
There's no doubt in my mind that it will be packed here. It is Toronto Soccer headquarters. We got massive big screens throughout the restaurant. Video wall, covered heated patio, which we're currently in. Hog in the heater, but we'll give it away. Special street event from noon until 9 p.m. here with live entertainment and prizes. Come see the polls in real life at Cafe Diplomatico.
I just want to warn everyone, there's like a power washing truck that's just pulled up, so there might be some power washing going on in a little bit here. We'll see how that goes.
All right, we got a full day here. T-Dub will be live. All our station lives 1 o'clock here in person. So come on down. We got lots to celebrate before Canada even kicks off this afternoon. We'll take a break. We'll head into the A-list, and we'll keep today rolling from Cafe Dips, Fan Morning Show, Justin and Ailer, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show. Sportsnet 590 Fan, live on location at Cafe Diplomatico on College Street. Come on down. The garbage has been collected. Step two of the morning is now to fill up these massive barriers with water. They're like weighted jugs of water.
Okay, so we're not going to get power washed here at any point. I thought they might be doing the windows. We suddenly... We're adjacent to garbage collection, then we'll be inside a car wash in a second.
We're having fun. Okay, so send in your Wake and Rake selections as well. I'm seeing some good ones in here. Lots of FIFA World Cup picks. So we want to know your obviously Canada's got to be a part of our Wake and Rake anchor. So send it in. You got also Leafs and Raptors, of course, tonight to throw in the parlay. We got a full day of action, full day of guests coming up. But let's get into the A-list.
Now it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
It's only really day two, I guess two and a half of the World Cup. We count that one game on Sunday.
Right.
But we've seen some historical moments, including Saudi Arabia with their massive, massive upset yesterday against Argentina, which we saw live. And Justin basically didn't pay attention to the show at all because he was watching on the television, which that's fine.
It's an issue today as well.
It is an issue because the TV's right in front of us and I keep looking up. Nonetheless, Saudi Arabia has now declared tomorrow or today now, I'm not sure the time zones, a national holiday after their historic upset. All public and private sector employees will have the day off from work. Schools will be closed. This is now going to be forever a day of celebration for the country. And I love it. I want more of this.
Is this annual?
I believe so. They should make it.
Okay, so you, if I'm not mistaken, you put John Tory on your winners for winners and losers on Monday?
No, not him.
I believe you put John Tory.
I don't want to be political. I'm not supporting anyone.
Okay,
I just said that the decision to open the bars early fell on his shoulders.
We won't name names, but if you really want to earn points, 3 points today for Canada over Belgium, let's do that tomorrow here in Ontario. Let's do that tomorrow.
Everybody gets a day off.
That would be amazing.
You know what? I'll even work. Just to cover it?
Well, we'll definitely have to work.
We never get a day off. But we'll let everyone else have the days off. We'll find a way in the city of Toronto. We'll call the people that we need to call.
Or better than that, the next game is a holiday so that you can actually watch the game.
Way better. Way better.
Today should be the day that you're, if you're a boss, you should be lax on your employees.
Yeah,
get out there early.
Go.
2 p.m. is the end of the day. Let's anyone listening to that has any power over employees at all, just be that guy or girl today of any days.
And we said it. We want to know how you're watching today's action. Let us know. We can we could tell your boss on the air. You know, we saw Rick. Rick wasn't feeling well this morning. He came out to support, and I think he should get the day off. And
or your secret's just safe with us. If you come down here to Cafe Diplomatico, we will not tell anyone who may hold your employment in their hands.
We won't take any photos. If you don't want to be put up on Twitter, we'll block all your employers. But you know what? I love that. Congrats on the day off. Hopefully our parliament is listening. All right.
Okay.
So Ben Simmons, yesterday was a Ben Simmons return to Philly.
Right.
Which was going to be, sorry, I had to mute my mic. I'm learning how to do that. Was going to be one of the highlights of your evening with no Toronto sports on. So he heads to Philly to make his return. There's also like added security, which is not part of the A-list, but just a side note. But he got the crowd cheering in Philly. This is why, though. Here's our clip.
Ben Simmons will go to the line to shoot two.
Just when you thought you wouldn't hear a Philly crowd cheering for Ben Simmons.
So what did he have to do to get the Nuggets? Sorry?
So.
Did he hit the shots or miss the shots?
The story here is this: there's a promotion going on with Chick-fil-A called Brickin' for Chicken. Every fan in attendance gets a free order of Nuggets the next day if an opposing player misses two consecutive free throws at any point during the second half. And Ben Simmons did it. Like, you can't script this stuff any better.
No, I mean, but it's also really, really obvious that would happen, at least at some point. They should just spend the game fouling him if they really wanted to. I mean, not
the chicken.
Not that they really cared about the chicken, but that was a layup of all layups, and a layup that Ben Simmons can't hit. I will say, though, Ben Simmons did kind of handle going back to Philly really, really well. I didn't, like, see everything that he said, but I thought he handled himself really well. And Ben Simmons usually doesn't handle himself really well.
That's right.
So I'll give him credit for at least not making this more of a spectacle. And forget that chicken.
He's a man of the people.
He is.
You know what? He really cares about
I mean, he can appreciate it because he's trying to do nothing and get paid. He's trying to do nothing and eat. And now those fans get to do nothing and eat. It really makes sense.
You know, at Leaf games now, they have, if the Leafs score the first goal of the first period.
Right.
First goal of the first period, everybody gets a free slice of pizza from a local.
Do you hand deliver, by the way?
No, the next day on the app that you have to download.
Okay.
You can get a free slice
apps
of pizza.
Apps really ruined, like, in-game.
And you got to scan the QR code when it's up on the video
QR
board.
Codes,
like, you have 10 seconds.
Like, it was good when you just had a ticket, a stub. You take
you
it to
in.
Pizza Pizza the next day and you
it
get something.
It is Pizza Pizza.
I guess I no free ads.
Yeah, well,
but
they're getting one.
When you have that option, when you can bring in a ticket, I mean, that's old, too. I miss those days.
And then, also a new promotion the Leafs have is if they score a power play goal, you get free nuggets from another establishment.
Okay.
With the purchase of a large drink, 24 hours.
You can tell
hours.
Me that establishment after the break
it's,
or in the break.
The establishment is
you
also...
You have to buy a drink?
You have to buy a large drink, but you get free eight-piece nuggets. So, like, you're paying $2. This
Still.
Establishment is also spinach. You know, and I'm using the muscle. Spinach. This okay. person likes spinach.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I get it.
You got it.
I mean, that's actually a good
that's
deal
pretty good,
well.
Right?
I might have to go to a game just for that.
But
do you
listen
need a power
to this.
Goal?
Two games ago... They scored the first goal of the first period on the power play, and everybody got double giveaway. And I'm out there giving away the double giveaway. I was everyone's favorite.
Well, you don't. I mean,
no, but I get
the
to
player,
announce
whoever
it.
Scored the goal.
Well, of course.
Oh, you get to announce
well,
the giveaway?
Like, everybody gets pizza
oh, that's
and
exciting.
Nuggets.
I mean, not that people don't like you, but that's the one way Honestly. To get to everyone's heart is to just announce that you're giving free food away. Like, everyone loves you in that moment.
All right. Thanks to Ben Simmons for feeding the Philly fans. Okay. Nashville Predators. They got a great promotion going on here.
Okay.
Now that we're sitting beside each other, you're going to stop looking at my
screen.
I'm not.
I don't know what it says.
Keep your eyes on your own paper here. The Nashville Predators have a wonderful promotion. So if you're listening and you're heading down to Nashville or you're from Smashville, listen to this. Spend Thanksgiving in Smashville with the in-laws package. The perfect opportunity to show them you care a little. Included in the package is two upper bowl tickets and two lower bowl tickets.
Mm.
So you can spend the game with your in-laws, but you can throw them to the upper bowl.
No, you got to send them lower.
Oh, yeah, you think?
If you want the separation, you got to give them the good tickets. You're relegating mom and dad
it's to hilarious.
The upper bowl?
I mean, there's probably some people that are going to do that for their in-laws. Hey, we're all going to go to a Nashville Predators game together. Happy Thanksgiving
weekend. Yeah, we can't get four tickets beside each other. It's really,
for some reason.
It's a hot ticket.
For some reason, we can only get two tickets down here.
Anything else coming there? There's got to be something else for the in-laws.
No, it's legitimately that's.
It's just the tickets?
It's what? It's just the tickets?
There's no, like, different menu for the older clientele?
Menu?
I thought there might be like a when we went to Nashville for a bachelor party and we bought tickets and we had this like unlimited buffet sort of thing going
on. At the arena?
Yeah. And we weren't in a box, but it was like where you sat.
Wow.
You could go out and eat out like a decent selection of food. It was like, I mean, forget chicken nuggets and pizza slices.
Legit?
It was like, it was good, but it was also like I gained 14 pounds that night.
Portly.
Stayed portly.
That I just think it's a great and unique promotion, and kudos to them. I don't see any other teams doing that.
No.
Thinking
no.
outside the box.
I like it.
Nashville Predators, enjoy your Thanksgiving weekend with your fam, but don't be too close to them. Clearly.
You got one more? Should we go soccer?
I do have one more I just wanted to read that has to do with dieting as well.
Okay.
So Bryson DeChambeau, who is probably my second least favorite athlete.
Behind who?
Garrett Cole, which we talked about yesterday.
Okay.
The two of them, you'd have to pay me. Well, if there was a dinner and I had to go sit beside those two, I'd rather starve.
I think you got the order right. I don't know if DeChambeau's that high.
I just hate his little.
I used to be a DeChambeau guy.
And his hat. It just bugs me. Anyway, so he had to gain some weight. I don't know if you noticed, but he put on 50 pounds between the end of 2019
right.
and the beginning of the 22 season.
I did notice that.
It was kind of evident. He became one of the biggest hitters on tour, though. He can smash at 350 yards minimum.
Yep.
Which has to do with the conscious decision to add 50 pounds to his frame.
Oh, this is muscle, not portliness.
It's not portly, but he has now recently showed what his diet was. Buckle up here. Breakfast, 4 eggs, 5 bacon strips, toast, and 2 to 3 protein shakes.
2 to 3?
You know those little ones that like I used to get for my grandmother to make her bones strong? Like, you know those little...
Like Boost or whatever?
Boost.
Like it's just calories.
Boost. Like my grandmother's bones were brittle.
Yeah. And if you can't eat, you eat
here,
that.
Here, Graham. It's a different company name. I don't know if this is an American company, but like Orgain.
Either way.
It's like a little baby protein shake.
Right.
2 to 3 of them to kickstart his morning.
Yeah, just straight calories.
Like, if I have 3 eggs, like we went out for breakfast the other day, and I had 2 eggs, and you had 5 eggs?
What?
Just kidding. Justin had 3 eggs. I had 2 eggs.
I didn't even finish my eggs, and man.
It's 3 eggs.
You can't call me out if
lot.
I didn't eat all
three
the
eggs. 3 eggs is a lot. He's having 4 eggs and 5 bacon chips. I could eat 5 bacon chips, though. I mean, bacon's weakness. Honestly, Cafe Dip, if they brought us a bucket of bacon right now, it'd be
bucket
gone.
Bucket of bacon.
So that's his breakfast, okay? For golf, he has Go Macro bars, which must be like heavy protein bars, peanut butter and jam, and then 3 more protein shakes.
Mm-hmm.
It continues. Post-golf, he has a snack, didn't specify what snack meant, and another protein shake. And for dinner, steak, potatoes, and 2 protein shakes.
How many protein shakes total?
8 protein shakes
There's
in gotta a day.
There's got to be some unintended consequences of having 8 protein shakes in a day, every day.
Yes.
And, you know, we can let the imagination run wild on that one.
That is... Like, he's single-handedly keeping that protein shake.
Yeah, but he lost the weight. He decided he didn't want to do that anymore, didn't he?
He said the following.
He slimmed down a little bit. He basically just stopped drinking the protein shakes. Probably because his doctor said, hey, stop drinking the protein
shakes. Well, this is what he ended up saying. I ate improperly for almost a year, yeah, you think? And I was starting to feel weird. My gut was all messed up, and so I went completely healthy.
Yeah, kidding, Bryce.
Went on a Whole30 diet, got a nutritionist, did blood work, measured stuff in my gut. I was super inflamed.
Yes, I bet you were.
Do not recommend 8 protein shakes a day, but 5 bacon strips for me, I could do.
Now Bryson's living that life where, like, it's less stressful, right? He doesn't have to hit it because he doesn't have to make
up
for...
He just has to show up.
Yeah, because he's hanging out on the, you know, the celebrity golf tour that pays you $100 million annually. He's good. He doesn't have to go to those lengths because he doesn't have to make up for the fact that he's not exactly the best golfer on tour. He did, for a moment there, change golf. Like, he was just, mm-hmm. like, the hottest thing for 6 weeks when he was at his fittest, I guess. But then the gut was like, no more. No mas, we're
My
not doing this anymore.
My gut was inflamed.
The gut decided to, you know what, we're going to be fully inflamed for this moment, and your only course of action is to go to LIV Golf if you want to make any money anymore.
Well, we don't condone that diet, but all...
But again, you'll ask for bacon. You might have to say it a little louder if you're going to get the free bacon delivered to our table. Let's get to the soccer report.
Yes.
Which is brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. It is in the 96th minute right now. We are in extra time between Morocco and Croatia.
How much extra time
still
was in this one?
No goals. I believe we're in... By the time I finish this soccer report, I feel like the final whistle will blow. But yesterday was a very, very interesting day with Saudi Arabia beating Argentina, Mexico and Poland drawing, Denmark and Tunisia drawing, and of course France gets a big 4-1 victory over Australia. But today is the big day. Morocco and Croatia look like they're headed to a point apiece, which will give Canada and Belgium the chance to take top spot in Group F. Also in action, Group E, Germany and Japan at 8 a.m., Spain and Costa Rica at 11 a.m. to finish up Group E's day. Nothing else really matters. Like, Morocco, Croatia, this score matters, but what matters the most today is Canada. We'll get a starting lineup. Not before we're off the air, I don't think, but we'll be talking about Canada and Belgium all day, and I cannot wait for kickoff at 2 p.m. here at Cafe Diplomatico. This soccer report was brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way.
We got Jeff Merrick after the break. Keep your text coming at 590-590. People texting about how they're going to be viewing Canada kicking it off at the World Cup. We'll share that information if you'd like. Because there's a couple of people saying that they got the sniffles coincidentally this morning and they can't come in. I'm sick. A couple of those, but you know what? Power to you.
Yeah, if you can get away with it.
You can get away with it.
All power to you.
A couple bosses here in the text line saying they're letting their employees go early. So there are good
it's
people left in this world.
It's such an easy way to earn brownie points. If you want to be the cool boss, this is the day. Just do it.
A beautiful day here, kicking it off. The sun is starting to rise. The heater is still...
And we are a final for Morocco-Croatia.
All right.
Split points.
Here we go.
Canada has the chance to take top spot in the group later on today.
Let's do it. Jeff Merrick after the break. Let's get back into that Morgan Riley LTIR conundrum, what the Maple Leafs might do. That's next on the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.